this isn't born under a bad sign.
I think this is Albert King. I don't think it's...
Yeah, it's not the Cream. It's Albert King.
And it's not called the Cream either.
Well, we're reaching back.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I'm Margaret Gray.
And I'm General Galen Shaw.
With Robert Leonard.
And I'm Bud Dickman. And now, Phil Hendry.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. And while we're on the program, I noticed that...
Hold on. What did you say? Whoa?
What?
Phil, you went well on the program. I know you don't like the fact that we've been critiquing you in terms of your vocalizations, but for God's sake...
That's where to go, whoa.
All right. I'm sorry. You want to start all over again?
No, let's not start all over again, but just you did not articulate the pear-shaped sounds. Did you ever get that in school, Bud?
What do you mean?
The pear-shaped, so that the mouth goes like this. Oh, whoa. What are you laughing at? You filthy-minded...
Bud, Margaret.
Stop.
Let go of the boy.
See, you saw what he did.
Bud, you don't go...
She's the one that's going like...
Well, I wasn't doing that...
Well, talk about the blowjob.
Excuse me.
All right, everybody clean it up, all right?
All I'm saying is she looked at me.
I know what I did, and I was talking about the pear-shaped sounds when one is learning to sing, not going, oh.
Well, look at Henry laughing.
Yeah, Mr. Henry.
I'm not laughing at that.
Oh, you're not laughing at that? What are you laughing at, then?
I'm not sure what I'm laughing at. All right. So,
that you're laughing at. You're laughing at the fact Margaret went, whoa, whoa.
Oh, so you did the choke sound, too. You,
hey, watch it, will you? It's jumping over me.
One of these days, Bud, I'll be able to reach you before Phil intercedes.
All I did was sit here.
Yeah, that's interceding enough.
So, are we done?
Are we done with what?
Are you done with the pear-shaped sounds?
For now, yes.
All right, welcome to the show, folks, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Did we get this pot fixed?
Which one?
The fader for number 7?
Yeah, I hit it with some of the dust off, and let me try again here.
With my face like that?
Sorry. Just,
Now, what does that do?
That clears out any dust and dirt, and any crap that's in the contacts.
All right, well, but there's no question that I probably am working that fader a little tough, so we'll try and be cool with that. All kinds of weirdness happening in our world. We have Chris Norton on the line with us today. Chris Norton is a aspiring adult filmmaker. He's an aspiring adult film actor. He's just aspiring, right?
Yeah, he's aspiring, all right. He's perspiring.
Yeah, perspiring.
Isn't that funny?
Well, in any event, this guy, Chris Norton, has got a film idea based on Brexit. It's called Brexit Breasts. And,
Why are we having this man on?
Because we're tracking this is a career. And we're tracking the success of this young man's career as he moves from his job as a pharmaceutical, a bucket shop kind of a telephone salesman, on into the world of adult films.
Have you ever in your life ever considered or encountered anyone with such a strange career path and such a strange man? This young man, Chris Norton, who fancies himself some sort of a stud...
Yeah, don't you think?
No, I don't think. And then he's making these pharmaceutical calls during the day, and then he's trying to get some contacts in the filth and in the stink.
Hello, the adult film business, I just imagine it's you're as legitimate as anything else.
Yeah, I would imagine that, you know.
Oh, you would imagine that, huh?
Well, look at Margaret, nobody's telling you that you have to watch this stuff.
I'm not saying that I have to watch it. What I don't like about the adult film business, and I think most women would say this, it is very aggressive. I think it is assaultive. I think it is sexist. I think ultimately it's very degenerating and very difficult for a woman. I just don't see how it's good for women.
Now what if they paid a lot of money?
Then it might be something to consider. But until that time...
All right, well, let's never mind about the adult film business. We have Chris Norton on because he has this idea. He's combining the news with an adult film, right, Bud?
Yeah, it's the movie. I mean, the movie's about a lady with big breasts, but it's also about Brexit. See?
Okay, Bud, you don't have to. What is with you?
Bud,
the movie is about Brexit.
Well, you know, that's why you play Bud in our Margaret Gray Players.
Why? Because I sound like him?
Yeah, I mean, well.
Yeah, maybe you think like him.
You know, Henry, one of these days I'll forget you're the host of this show.
And you'll forget that I've created your voice?
Yes, I'll forget that I'm not really a piece.
Forget it.
You'll forget you're not really a piece.
I'll forget that I'm not really at peace. as a non-person, God, I want to just go back to bed.
All right, we're going to have Chris Norton on the program today. And I believe we're also going to have Dave Castorini on. Reverend Gay, don't say it. I got it. Reverend Dave Castorini.
Hey.
Good one.
Thanks. And Reverend Castorini from the Youth Ministries, Castorini Youth Ministries in the beautiful and marvelous state of Arizona there in Scottsdale, Arizona. But right now, let's go out here to the traffic and the highways and byways. Going out there with Bob Bacon. Bob?
I told you, Dave, up the freeway. Got a hell out there. You can handle the cement. There is cement in the stream of water. I don't know what they're thinking down there, but they can't come travesty. And the travesty is that we're driving an automobile to the city of Los Angeles. All right. They're up the throttle freeway. And you're going to get out of dance, cats, and rats. Grab your pants, grab your socks and cocks, and get your butt to this head. Stick it up your bum. Let's go to Skyboy now.
Hi, Bob. I got a flicker on Sam Redemption.
Yep.
Hello, guys. It's Kevin. That is Kevin.
I thought Kevin was there. I told him.
I got a hold of Dan and held him down to our bed and stuck it right up the Harlan, too. So, maybe I think they're going to this evening. And we got a hand. I thought, go to bed. Sky Baby Satan.
Me. Yeah, hey. Oh. Boy, Sky Baby Sweet Hand.
Larry's Hobbies, some of the finest little model airplanes and little model cars and little miniature demons. It's a lot of fun. Come to Larry's Hobbies. Different things for different people. Larry's Hobbies is exploding stuff. Larry's Hobbies, we don't mind selling you glue. And Larry's Hobbies, the other thing you can make, railroad trains. Larry's Hobbies, we sell you glue, we sell you the things that make you the man you are at Larry's Hobbies. Larry's Hobbies, 2121 Canoobal. That's in the Loudermilk Shopping Plaza. Larry's Hobbies. It's what you need. It's what you require. It's who you are. Forget it. Don't worry about some of the things you may sniff and feel good about. Some of the things you sniff and feel good about, I don't even want to talk about. And some of them are not inanimate objects. Larry's Hobbies. Larry's Hobbies. And now, with a coupon, get Larry's Hobbies glue half off. And Larry's Hobbies ether. Not half off. What difference does it make? Your mind is gone. At Larry's Hobbies.
World famous Phil Hendry Show for the El Pacifico in Southern California. We're back here. And you know, the one thing we never did on this program was have a proper send-off, if you will, for Arnold Palmer, who passed on a couple of weeks ago, I guess last week. And we wanted to get on Frank Gray. As you know, Frank is Margaret's husband, does a fair amount of golfing himself.
Well, there's a lot more to Frank Gray than just the golfing. Hello, darling.
I'm here.
Thank you, General.
Yeah, I'm passing it off now to Margaret.
Well, what I'd like to talk a little bit about, I know that Frank, my husband, is an entertainment attorney. I know that you've done quite a bit, Frank. You've produced television programs. But let's talk a little bit about Arnold Palmer, shall we?
Well, I'd like to. I think...
And what would you say is the most distinctive thing about Arnold Palmer, the one thing that set him apart from everyone else?
Let me just... I'm talking about Arnold Palmer on the radio. I'm just let me get this shot in.
All right. If you could put up the golf clubs, though, Frank, after this.
I've got. Just hold it. You're a cunt. That's the worst shot in the world.
Well, maybe it is appropriate. We're talking about Arnold Palmer, who was one of the great champions of golf, because Frank just, what did you do, shank it or hook it or whatever you say?
I shanked it, yeah. Rub it in, Margaret.
I'm not rubbing anything in, Frank, but as a golfer, you stink and you know it.
Oh, baby. Get off my wife. Yeah.
Well, Frank, let's just get off the golf, your golf, and let's talk about Arnold Palmer, shall we?
All right, fine. I'm shot. My wife just said that I stink and I know it.
What you do?
What's that?
What you do?
Why don't you... All right,
So what would you like to say about Arnold Palmer?
Well, Arnold Palmer was, as I said, she was one of the all-time greats. And here's the thing. You mentioned,
I asked.
You asked that what made Arnold Palmer distinctive, and I don't think there's any question that people would tell you that Arnold Palmer's swing was really excruciatingly bad. Now, here's the thing that... You would say about an Arnold Palmer, when she swung a golf club, you'd say, Christ, her swing is horrifying. And then at the end of the round, she's beating you by, you know, 20 strokes or so. I said, well, I don't get it. My shot?
I thought you quit.
I know it. Quit.
Frank, I asked you to stop golfing.
Well, I'm not going to stop golfing, okay? Here's one for Arnie. Fuck!
What'd you do with that one?
What did I do with
the
one?
What did you do with that one?
I hit it in the wash, all right?
Every time. You're always hitting the ball in the wash. Frank, you can't put the golf club up for a few seconds here to talk to me.
I've got too much money, right? But Arnold Palmer, I would say, had the most atrocious-looking swing you ever saw on a golfer. And I believe it's because Arnold Palmer knew that to play anything, like golf or any kind of sport well, you got to be yourself. You have to feel comfortable.
You know, Frank, this is Phil Henry. It keeps recurring in life, doesn't it? There's the by the book way, and then there's the way that makes some people stand out.
Well, some of the greats, Phil, are iconoclastic, and some of the greats are just they're originals, and so they want to win so badly they want to win so bad. I should say.
Not Bobby Badley.
No, it's not. Is that Dickman?
Yes.
No, it's not Dickman. Okay, hold on. I gotta putt this. Oh my God! I'm gonna three putt another green. Hey,
Frank, when you assault those caddies,
don't say assault, Margaret. It makes it sound like I molested her. Okay, a 19-year-old boy. No, I did not. I just kicked her in the balls.
Yes.
Nothing. I'm here.
All right. So, we're talking with Frank Ray, my husband. We did not have a proper send-off and a proper commentary, I don't think, about Arnold Palmer, and that's what we're doing here right now. You and Phil both mentioned that Arnold Palmer was an original from the standpoint of his golf swing. Could you elucidate?
Oh, yeah. Get a load of the big words on my wife. He's using a lot of big words.
Could you elucidate, Frank?
All right. Okay. Look, Arnold Palmer, in order to win, was willing to do anything. And I think that, to quote John Huston in Chinatown, most men never have to face the fact that given the right time and the right place, they're capable of, and to put it his way, anything. You know, Phil?
Yeah, I know.
All right, well,
that's kind of a grotesque part of the movie.
All right, I'm sorry. What I was simply trying to...
Just give us the whole load. Why do you think Arnold Palmer... we're talking about his golf swing.
Well, the golf swing of Arnold Palmer was the most horrific and horrendous. It was a rotten swing, and it was lousy from beginning to end. It didn't start out right. She didn't bring the club head all the way back. She finished way out over here. Her knees were knocked together. It looked like the way Palmer swung a golf club, it looked like she had to go to the bathroom real bad and needed to just get the swing out of the way. But here's the thing. With that horrific and atrocious golf swing, Arnold Palmer was a champion. At the end of her life, she had won some $600 million and...
Well, it was he did not win $600 million in golf, necessarily.
Well, that's true, General. I mean, she probably made a lot of in commercial endorsements. Here, I'm going to hit the ball here. How far is it? Oh, this is the tee box. God damn it. So, what? Yeah. I took a 10? Bullshit.
All right, Frank, when you get the ball, you know, teed off, we want to ask you a few more questions.
What?
When you...
When we get the... Just hit the ball, Frank, okay?
All right. Where'd it go? You know, I hate golf so much.
What, are you crying?
No.
Talking with Frank Gray here about Arnold Palmer. We never really had a proper send-off for Arnold Palmer, and Frank's out on the course again. Where are you again, Frank?
What?
Where are you?
I'm at Rancho Park.
Rancho Park. Among the many things that people remember Arnold Palmer for, it was his relationship with his fans. He was very gracious to his fans. I remember seeing Arnold Palmer just once in my life live, and that was in Ojai. And I remember waving his cap as he came up the fairway to the fans.
Oh, yeah. Well, Arnold Palmer acknowledged the fans. She knew she had. They used to call it Arnie's Army, you know?
Yeah, right there. Arnie's Army was the name of that.
What did that mean?
Well, Arnie's Army was the fans. It was an army. There was a sports writer that said she had an army, and they said, well, here comes her army, Arnie's Army. And so it was. And Arnold Palmer was gracious with the fans, as Phil just said. She used to take her cap off and wave it. And, you know, she was very, and a lot of times it took her away from her wife, who was, very devoted to her. But, you know, he's the little lady of the house, so what's he going to do when his husband is out there and she's earning the money?
Right. We're talking here with Frank Gray of a lot of things. Frank Gray, entertainment attorney and producer, and Frank's out on the golf course right now.
Yeah, and here I'm going to putt this the way Arnold Palmer putted it. She leaned into it. She pushed her knees together. Watch this. Uke. I rolled 10 feet past. That's what I'm saying. Arnold Palmer's swing, her putting style, everything she did in the game of golf, were I just applying these things to myself, I would say that she was a one-man horror. A horror visited upon a game of golf. Well, I know that she won with her golf swing and her putting style, so I can only say that I don't know.
You don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, well, shoot fit. Why don't you shut up, Hank?
All right, Frank Gray has been our guest here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, remembering Arnold Palmer, and while he remembers Arnold Palmer, he's out golfing, just used the Arnold Palmer putting stance, which is that kind of that knock-kneed stance, and it rolled 10 feet past.
That's correct, Phil. It rolled 10 feet. God damn.
He didn't say 10 feet past. He said 10 feet past.
I know that.
Well, that's what you said. You said 10 feet fast.
What? All right, so, in conclusion, Arnold Palmer was more than just a great golfer. She was a great man, and she devoted a lot of her time to great charities. She made a lot of money. She had big houses. The big deal, okay?
Well, Frank, you've been a very successful person as well.
Not like Arnold Palmer. $600 billion? She's rich, man.
Not anymore, Frank.
All right, she was rich. There's Frank Gray out here at Rancho Park. And, Phil, I want to mention to you and your fans that Arnold Palmer, there's a selection of films. Some of her great tournaments can be seen on YouTube.
Absolutely. I suggest everybody go over and see them. That's the beautiful thing about YouTube. It is a way to go and capture things, and it's a way to go and relive things. Frank, thank you very much.
I think he hung up.
Okay.
He hung up on you.
Yeah. Looks like he did, Phil. Yeah, okay, he hung up on me. Coming up next to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, we have, I don't know, who do we have?
Well, we have Chris Norton, who is going to be talking about his, you know...
Oh, that's right, his idea for an adult film. Brexit Breasts. Chris Norton coming up next to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
World-famous Phil Henry Show, El Pacifico, Southern California. Yeah!
Rick Gundershatt's Pillow Cleaners. We take your pillow that is coated in your hair grease and we clean that thing up quick.
Send me the pillow that you dream of.
Yes, send in your pillow to Rick Gundershatt's Pillow Cleansers and we'll clean that thing of all the hair grease, all of the grime, all of the just the crud and the crap that you have in your hair.
Send me the pillow that you
so that when you put that pillow under your head and maybe you turn and you put your nose into it at night, because sometimes we do that, it doesn't smell like someone's ass. I'm Captain William Brown of the United States Air Force Wing 6, Regiment 12 in the Nuvi Valley. We'd like young men and women of appropriate age who are interested in a career in the U.S. Air Force to report to Battalion 5, Depot 7. And we'll take an appraisal of you at that time. If you've got what it takes, if you're man enough or woman enough to be a member of the United States Air Force, to fly in those silver wings on high, maybe we'll take you. The United States Air Force needs you, but only if you know how to fly. We'll teach you, that part we want to throw in. You don't have to know how to fly when you get here, but it'll help if you learn within a few weeks. Paid for by the United States Air Force. What? Paid for by the United States Air Force.
You got a nasal problem?
Paid for. Paid for by the United States Air Force. Yeah, man.
Great. Oh, and here's the Almond Mothers, huh?
Almond Mothers, get a load of you.
Oh, did you call them that when you were younger, General?
No, I called them that when I was... Yes, I called them that.
Almond Brothers with Sweet Melissa. World-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. So as we mentioned, Chris Norton is a young, aspiring filmmaker, an adult film maker. He's an aspiring adult film producer. Currently right now working for Hermosa Pharmaceutical Sales, and he's there in Hermosa Beach. Let's talk a little bit with Chris about how things are hanging for him these days and what he has in the works in terms of this new film. It's called Brexit Breasts. And, you know, I'm going to let Margaret kick off the questioning, Chris, because she's got some questions that kind of go beyond your role as a filmmaker, all right?
I mean, I'm, you know, more than happy to.
All right, Chris, this is my question. I know that Phil says that he has you on here because it's interesting to track the career of a young man who's working in pharmaceutical sales who wants to be an adult film maker. I don't see it, but let's go ahead and talk about this because I want to see if you really do have what one would call innovative ideas, or you just because you're in the adult film business.
Oh, let me look. Can I just say something?
Go ahead.
I really think I do have great ideas. I'm not just a handsome dude. I mean, if you saw me, you would, you'd say I would probably want to sleep with him.
I can assure you, no, I wouldn't.
All right. I mean, if you want to lie to people.
I'm not, Phil. I don't want to be called a liar.
Chris, let's keep this friendly.
Look, Mr. Henry, there are every woman that has ever seen me has said she'd climb it. And
what does that mean, climbing? To have sex with you?
Yes, sir. And Miss Gray... saying that she won't, it makes it sound as if I'm wretched looking, or I have a you know.
That some people might think that he's got a bent penis or something like that.
I can assure you, I don't care what you look like. I would not want to sleep with you.
All right. I mean, I find that.
All right. We're not going to have an argument about it, okay?
I just find it very disingenuous.
Well, Chris, you can do that, all right. Let's just talk about your aspiring filmmaking career. Specifically the movie that you have in mind. It's called what?
It's Mr. Henry indicated. It's called Breasted Breasts. And Breasted Breasts is about, I don't know whether or not you know it or not, but a law passed in England about Brexit. Okay, you know that, Mr. Henry?
Yeah.
We've heard of Brexit, yes.
All right. And Brexit, I thought was a play on words. So when I heard about Brexit, and I knew that it was very big politically, it was in the news, then I thought, well, let's do a little something, you know. Let's do a film called Brexit Breasts. And this is a movie about a female who's the Prime Minister of England. And it's during the planning stages of the S-15, which is the
X-15?
Yeah, the X-15. And it's a rocket plane that will fly almost outer space.
Now, let me ask you something. The X-15 was in the 50s.
Right, but we're bringing it up to modern day standards. So the X-15 is flying, and Brexit Breasts, who is the Prime Minister, is played by Tina Knobb, and Tina is, she's super knob.
What does that mean, super knob?
I don't really want to know the answer to that.
All right, well, I mean, but a super knob...
No, just move on.
Okay, I mean, just, so this is the Prime Minister of England, is super knob, Tina Knob, and...
Is that her name in the movie?
No, in the movie, her name is simply the Breasted Breast, okay?
Breakfast Breasts.
Breakfast Breasts?
It's Brexit.
So, she gets into an S-15...
What is it, an X-15?
Yeah, man. What's the sound? I don't stutter.
No, you don't stutter, but you... Go ahead.
Yeah, so she flies in the S-15 from England on the mainland Europe to tell them that Brexit Breasts is on the move, and if England's going to leave, you know, is gonna leave the European Union, and that's what Brexit is all about... And she said to the people in Europe, or to the leaders of Europe, take a look at these and say goodbye to them. Okay?
So she flies an X-15.
Whoa, hold on. Okay, who was I talking to? Margaret?
Yes.
You understand?
Yes, I do.
Hey, Chris, I want to ask you a question.
I'm sorry, I just want to make sure Margaret got it.
She flies the X-15, which is a rocket plane, to the...
Oh.
All right, I'll take over. She flies it to...
I got it.
She flies the rocket plane to Europe, lands, and says, we've left the EU, say goodbye to these.
Yeah, and she shows her breasted breasts. And that's when, flying back to England on an S-15 GSS with the whole cabinet, you know.
She has sex with all the men in her cabinet.
Well, not all men, okay? And that's the part of breasted breasts that makes it interesting, that the Prime Minister of England is a woman who is fine and put together and extra pretty, and she's having sex with members of her cabinet, yes, male and female.
Uh-huh. Now, obviously, there's not much of a plot, right?
No, there's not much of a plot, but I do, you know, there is a plot. It's not much of one, but it is a plot. And I think a lot of times adult filmmakers are blown off by the adult film industry because they don't think that they make movies good. I want to make a movie that's good enough so that people do remember the plot.
Well, I can assure you, Chris, I won't remember the plot of this, other than I think it ends rather interesting. She says, say goodbye to these.
Yeah, she gets off the plane in Paris, pulls, you know, whips them out, whips out the breasted breasts, and says, breasted breasts? If somebody ordered up breasted, okay, goodbye. And then she gets back on the Prime Minister's plane and has sex with the minister
of war and everything.
Well, yeah, but I mean, more than just the minister. There's the minister of finance, and they're all different looking dudes too. So one minute breasted breasts is having sex with the minister of finance, who might be a normal looking stud type dude, and then she's having sex with, like, the minister of, I don't know, the Ministry of Fear, or what do they got?
The Ministry of Fear. They have the Foreign Secretary.
Okay, the Foreign Secretary. No, Secretary is what we do.
Yes, but they have the Foreign Secretary. Don't start getting me pissed off, okay?
All right, so what's the Foreign Secretary?
The Foreign Secretary. What do you think that the Foreign Secretary does?
Is the Secretary for Foreign...
Like the Secretary of State.
Okay. So,
God damn, what is that, man? You guys have the weirdest ways of responding to things.
Why, what are you talking about?
Oh, whoa, 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 whoa.
Well, what's wrong with you, man?
That's exactly what you just did.
That is what you did, Chris.
I went, oh, 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 oh. Various things that...
Never mind. So the Foreign Secretary...
Right, and so breasted breasts has sex with a Foreign Secretary who's about 5'5", a little gray-haired, gnomey-looking dude. And he's all, you know, he's all, hey, I'm the Foreign Secretary. I want to have sex with breasted breasts, you know.
Uh-huh. And how does it end?
Mr. Enver, you go, uh-huh. It sounds like...
Yeah, it sounds like you're blowing him off.
I'm not blowing you off, but I'm not impressed with your movie.
Well, Mr. Henry, it's not about, you know...
Well, you said you wanted to be respected for the plot.
I want to be respected for the plot, yeah. But it's not like I'm going to be sitting here crying a river because Mr. Henry, you know, is not getting off on the plot. The movie is about, first of all, the movie stars Tina Nobbs, and she has not been seen in a adult film in 5 years because she had them redone, and they're magnificent, they're massive, they're beyond anything that anybody can even imagine. You know, so don't even try.
What's that mean? I mean, how big are they, man?
They're huge. I mean, they're just huge. And
beyond anything anybody can imagine.
Yes. And that's why we're very fortunate to get Tina Nobbs, who's one of the top, big boob, gigantic.
You know, there's an old saying, any more than a mouthful. Do you mind? Well, hold on. Any more than a mouthful is too much. I can't imagine a woman with breasts as large as you claim this Tina Nobbs has got. What difference does it make?
What difference does it make? Are you serious? Oh, my God. Guys all over the... Are you ready for that, Mr. Henry?
I agree with the general.
I don't know whether you're up to speed on things, but breasts, big, gigantic, huge, huge breasts, and you're not impressed with the breasts.
Well, I mean, I see, I understand what you're saying, but they're different.
Yeah, I'll say they're different. The gigantic breasts, Mr. Henry, is what drives the sex traffic in America.
Well, all right, so you say. So anyway,
no, so I know. I'm an adult film actor as well as a pharmaceutical salesman. Yeah, but I have slept with over 10,000 women, and my sexuality and the strength of my sex, the power of my sex, is well known.
All right, Chris Norton is with us.
Were you laughing at me?
No, not at all. Why would I laugh at you?
That sounds very sarcastic, you know.
Hey, Chris, just let Mr. Henry finish.
All right.
All right, Chris Norton has been our guest on the Phil Henry Show. Brexit Breasts. You got to see this. It's an adult film where the Prime Minister of England is a woman.
What an asshole, man.
Call Mr. Henry an asshole.
He's laughing at me on a national, on the national digital, you know?
Whatever that means.
It means I'm national.
Hey, you're international.
What?
You're international.
Yeah, okay, I'm international. And Mr. Henry just laughed at me.
Yeah, I laughed at you. So,
Well, why?
Look, Chris, don't try to tell me that your movie Brexit Breasts is going to be anything other than looking at this Tina Knobs with big
Jesus.
Watch the JC. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Chris Norton. His film Brexit Breasts, a new adult film, will be debuting when, Chris?
We're not sure just yet. We haven't finished it yet. As soon as we're able, we got to shoot the exteriors at Edwards Air Force Base, and then we have to shoot the big scene where she has sex with the foreign secretary, because that's going to be an interesting one, because breast, these gigantic boobs, you know, she's got gigantic boobs. Each boob is larger than the foreign secretary.
What an asinine movie, you know? Only an ass would make a movie like this.
Why?
What do you mean each boob is bigger?
I'm telling you. And I'll only tell you. You know?
Chris, you need, among the many things you need...
Fuck. Margaret is being so cruel, she just sounded like a man.
I did I?
Yeah, you went... I'm just telling you right now that...
This movie you've got, her boobs are bigger than the foreign secretary.
Each one, yeah. Fuck.
Hey, man, don't you hang up. So that's Chris Norton, ladies and gentlemen. Brexit Breasts. Go see it soon.
Yeah. Now, Hey, I want to say something.
Well, famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back. That's Chris Norton with Brexit Breasts.
That's bullshit, man.
Merton's Jeans.
Yep,
you can slip right into them. Get into a pair of Merton's jeans and stride on off. Merton's jeans come stitched up nice and tight on the side, good and tight in the crotch area, and on the backside, it pulls up, lifts, and sticks out. Merton's jeans are for every kind of walk of life, everything that you do. Weddings, bar mitzvahs, working on a ranch, working on your hands and knees. You can get on your hands and knees in Merton's jeans. They're for a real man.
Merton's Jeans, available at Cooper's Outlet Malls, is what it is.
Merton's Jeans.
This is Father James McQuarters reminding you that coming this week is the 14th Annual Gaelic Dance Festival. All of the great Gaelic jigs, all of the great Gaelic dances, the Gaelic twist, as well as the Gaelic Watusi. Yes, it's the Gaelic Dance Festival there in the Gaelic village of Gabon, California.
Come to the Gaelic Dance Festival in Gabon, California, this Saturday.
I love it so.
Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. Brought to you by the Phil Henry Show website, where you ought to get a backstage pass and be a subscriber to the greatest website ever. 20,000 plus hours of material, and coming up this Friday night is the Phil Henry Show chat. Here's Phil, I'll tell you more.
That's right, coming up on Friday night is our chat, and you know, we want to get a lot of people there, you know.
Well, if you're a brand new subscriber to the Phil Henry Show website, be sure to join Phil on his Friday night chat. It starts at 9 o'clock Pacific, so that's midnight on the East Coast. Maybe that's a problem.
You know, Phil, that is a late start.
Well, it's going to be... No, it's not on Friday night that's not a late start. People are just getting home from the bars at whatever time it is. So
midnight.
Yeah, midnight on the East Coast. So join us, of course, for our Friday night chats if you're a subscriber to the Phil Henry Show website, because we've got lots to talk about. It's going to be a very, very, very exciting end of 2016. I guarantee that, my brother. So be forewarned of that. Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. So we promised you Dave Castorini And Reverend Dave Castorini, of course, runs the Youth Ministries in Scottsdale, Arizona. And we wanted to have him on the program to talk about this political season. It is a weird one. It's a whack one. It's getting goofy and weird and getting weirder and goofier as time goes by. Here's Reverend Castorini. Thanks for joining us, Dave. I should call you Dave, Reverend Castorini.
You can call me Reverend Dave. It's all right. It's
I know you don't stand on ceremony, do you?
I don't want to stand on ceremony. I want everyone to know that Dave Castorini is I'm a stand-up guy, and I'm a person that is approachable, and I'm certainly someone who I think I'm someone that you can come to with your problems, you can come to with your whatever ails you, and we'll try to help you out.
And your youth ministry there in Scottsdale, it's not just about youth, it's about young adults.
Well, it is primarily about young adults, but really we're here for everyone.
Now, I want to talk to you about this political season. It's quite unusual, and it in a lot of ways it's kind of messy, isn't it?
It is messy. I think it degrades all of us when our political process, Phil, is not one that is purely of ideas on how to make our country better, when it is nothing more than these insults and attacks thrown back and forth. You know, it's the baseball season. And I recall a number of years ago of a young man. It was a Chicago Cub game. I can't remember who they were playing against, but I knew I was rooting for the Cubs. At that time, I was a big Chicago Cub fan. And a fan got in the way of a fly ball.
I remember that.
Yeah, it's pretty famous.
Yes, it is very famous. And I did something, it made me so angry, I did something that I'll never forget. And I won't forget it for a couple of reasons. It was a deranged thing to do, but I had no physical sensation of it. I took some pruning shears and attempted to cut off my small finger.
Oh, my God.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not.
When was this?
I told you when the guy missed the fly ball.
Why'd you do that?
Because I had bet some money on the game. And again, I'm going back to a time when my soul was not right with God, when I was not right with God, when my mind was not right with God.
But I should say, you tried to cut off your pinky finger.
Yes, I did. Now, before we get too outraged, and believe me, General, there's no one more outraged than me, let's remember what happened. This fan interfered. It was one of the Chicago Cubs. I can't remember who.
We need to look that play up. It was in the playoffs.
It was in the playoffs of the 90s. And a fan interfered on the catching of the ball. And that blew the game for me. I thought that I'd lost my bet.
Did you?
I don't remember, Phil. I can't even tell you the score of the game.
Well, we should find that, shouldn't we?
But
yeah, the Steve Bartman incident, according to Wikipedia.
That was the young man's name, Steve Bartman. And it was a postseason game, Chicago Cubs and the Florida Marlins.
Yeah, but it wasn't in the 90s. 2003 at a Wrigley Field in Chicago.
All right, so what happened?
Well, this young man, Steve Bartman, in the eighth inning, was it, Phil?
All right, I'm looking at the Wikipedia entry here. It says in the eighth inning of Game 6 of the National League Championship Series. Keep in mind, the Cubs hadn't been to a World Series since 1945.
Well, that was the part that really, and you know, the Marlins went on to be in the World Series, and that's now it's coming back to me. Ow.
What are you doing?
I'm remembering the pain. Ow.
Okay, do you need to take some time?
No, I'm just, that's right. So it kept the Cubs out of the World Series. Well, anyway, this young man, Bartman, interfered. He reached for the ball. And it disrupted a fair catch.
It was Moses Alou, or Moises Alou.
Oh, yeah. Okay, now I know. And I remember Moises said after the game, he said, I had it. And then this no-count two-bit.
Well, I don't think he said that, did he?
No, he didn't. I'm remembering it. My anger is interfering. That was when I realized that I got to do something else. I've got to get out. I have to get a life. You know what I'm saying? I had no life. And
so that's what led you to your ministry?
No, it did not. It didn't lead me. I did not get led to my ministry until 2004. It was another year after that I got led to my ministry. And what led me to my ministry was a motorcycle accident. I took a fall at 75 miles an hour, Phil, and I rolled down the street. I broke several bones. My pelvis was fractured.
Good Lord. So this accident on the motorcycle, you're talking about almost self-mutilating, using pruning shears to cut off your own finger. That didn't do it.
No, that, you got to admit that's nuts.
Hey, bud, I do admit. I do admit. It's very nuts.
And yet that was not what caused you to go to Jesus. It was a motorcycle accident.
It was a motorcycle accident, yeah. But let me just tie it all together. I was with a young woman who eventually became my wife. And
what's her name?
I don't remember her name because of the motorcycle accident.
Well, what do you mean you don't remember her name?
I don't know what her name is.
Well, why don't you call her something?
Well, I call her Julie. You asked me what her real name is?
Whatever her name is.
Whatever her name is. Phil. All
right, see you later.
No, Phil, you can't.
All right. Wait a minute, Phil. You can't do this. I'm doing it, okay? I'm doing it.
Mr. Henry, I'm sure you understand.
No, Mr. Henry, don't understand anything. We're bailing out of another show here. Thank you very much.
Phil, we have to know the end of the story.
Well, we'll find... I tell you what I'll do is I'll call him up tomorrow.
No, I'm doing now.
Because I don't want to do it now.
What an asshole, man.
Well, that's what I am.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, tune in tomorrow to find out what happened to Dave Castorini after he tried to cut his finger off after that fan interference, why he can't remember his wife's name, although he calls her Julie, the motorcycle Jesus.
Yes, it's stupid.
Well, it's stupid then.
Bill, that is very petulant of you.
I'm getting sick and tired of these weirdos, man, getting sidetracked with these stories. If it's going to take two shows, it'll take two shows.
World-famous Phil Henry Show, executive produced by Phil Henry for Siempre Incorporated. All rights reserved on Podcast One.
What an asshole, man.
Well, if I'm an asshole, that's it.